ordinance. So why don't we go ahead and call this meeting of the short-term rental ordinance implementation work group. Go ahead and open it up. In terms of roll call, appears that all members are present save John Rogers, who provided his feedback via email, which is circulated to the group.
You know, is that in this or?
There you go. I emailed it separately.
Okay.
Because it came in after.
Okay, I'm sure you can look at it.
They're in support of the direction this is going, but he had a number of comments in that regard as to why he felt this was an appropriate direction to be going. So we don't have any public comments. So next up, approval of minutes. So including your packet, were a copy of the minutes from the last meeting in July. Trust you had a chance to take a look at them.
I reviewed the minutes.
Okay.
And I didn't really find any errors. Congratulations. However, I didn't ask Bob Bourbon to read it.
So I guess we'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes?
Was that a motion?
Yeah, motion to approve the minutes.
I'll support.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, minutes have been adopted, approved. All right, we had just a couple of items on the agenda. This could be the last meeting of the short-term rental work group. The resolution that the council adopted that impaneled you as a work group calls for you to wrap up your substantive work this month, and we're officially in the last day of this month. And then everything by the end of the year. And so what I put together was a draft recommendation letter that I hope is at least close to being in line with where you'd like to go with this. And so that's the first thing I have here. And I have it in Word format. I trust you've had a chance to review it. I'm happy to make any changes you collectively feel need to be made to that letter. And so maybe we start there.
I'll start. Mm-hmm. I think the letter that was sent to us by John Rogers is pretty much in line with what I think. And I guess I'm putting my signature on, you know, this work from the work that we did, whatever it's called, the implementation work group. So that form, not in draft form, I think is ready for signature.
I looked at it. I thought it was fine, and I would like with Sandy. I think John's comments were appropriate, and I would support those. So I would move that we, you know, my recommendation is we could go ahead.
Can't hear you.
No problem.
No problem. Jamie?
Agree.
You're good? Cynthia?
Well, I was looking at all the bullet points, and I think they're all valid and good. I do have a question about developing a more effective working relationship with the municipal court for adjudication in a more timely manner. Has that been done? Is that in process? Do we have any numbers on that yet?
It would be a recommendation from the work group to try to improve that relationship so that when a citation is issued that needs to be adjudicated by the municipal court, it moves in a more timely manner. We haven't had many, but we have one in particular which involves the Heinz Neff property, which is still unresolved and has been unresolved for a very long time. And it's pointing out that we need to do a little bit more work in terms of developing a more effective process with the municipal court so that when a citation is issued, it gets resolved in a timely manner.
So what would that process be? I mean, I don't know. What
well, you know, my,
would that be?
You know, my sense is that we take the example, for example, I'll use the Heinz Neff. What isn't working there? Why has it taken so long for it to get resolved? Mm-hmm. It's a sit-down probably with the municipal court. It may be at some point a discussion between the council and the judge. about how we want this to work. So that we don't have somebody who's, you know.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's the only.
Slowing and kind of gumming up the process.
Yeah, I wonder if the term should be changed though, as far as instead of saying more effective working relationship, to review the processes to expedite. Do better expedite things.
That would work for me.
Yeah, because again, we're dealing with a judge who has some, who has independence from us.
One thing I do want to emphasize though, and you know, I did have this conversation with David Allen, the city, our city attorney, is I think, and he would share this, what he shared with me was, in his view, it's not a problem with the process as structured. It's how it's being implemented.
Right.
And so I think we, you know, if it's not.
This is kind of finger pointing at the judge, and I think it's probably better to finger point at the process or the execution.
Or the execution of the process, not the process necessarily itself.
Right, right.
The execution would be good.
Derek, it's also a little more than that. I think the city also needs to tighten up our process of, we have, for example, we have a violation and Jim goes through everything, gets to the point where enforcement is warranted, he does enforcement, and then he's done. He's done everything that he's supposed to. Now we have to deal with the verification of the service and the delivery, and there's very specific laws in the types, there's what, eight, I think, is what David Allen's pointed out, 6 to 8 different ways of how somebody can be served. When somebody refuses, then what steps do we have to take? We don't really have those outlined.
Yeah, so I think of really a mutual, we really need to have a discussion with the judge on that process.
I don't see this sentence being finger pointing at the judge. It says just developing a more effective working relationship with the municipal court. I don't see that we're pointing a finger at the judge. I think it's more pointing a finger at us.
Well, I suppose it depends on your perspective, so. But working relationship is kind of odd because the judge is independent, and it's not really a working relationship. It's really an execution of the process that I think is important, because the judge is independent from the enforcement process by law, and so I think it's really focusing on the execution of the process, which goes both ways, as Jason indicated.
But the judge is also one of the employees of the council. And, you know, is it effective or even appropriate for the council to say, put out an expectation of the municipal court? I mean, obviously he gets the discretion and everything that goes along with being a judge and how things work and process and rules that he has to follow, but still an expectation of, you know, quick adjudication, fair and impartial, you know, whatever it may be. I don't want to speak for the council, but, you know, does the judge know what that expectation is versus this is just like any other citation that comes to my court and I'm going to handle it this way. It may be quick, it may be not.
You know? I think the judge worked at the discretion of the council.
Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't work at the discretion of the council.
Well, he's hired by the council.
He's hired by the council, but the council can't tell the judge what to do on any legal matters.
Still, I mean, the council, if things doesn't get done, it's the council's responsibility to make sure it gets done.
So if he's not doing his job as judge, that's an issue with the council, but the decisions and the legal processes he uses is not the council's, in the council's basic.
I'm up for a change, but I don't see any problem with the effective working relationship.
What
you guys want to do?
What if the sentence read, developing a more effective process in conjunction with the municipal court?
Yeah.
I've been listening to you guys, and try this one. Coordinate with the municipal court to identify steps that can be taken to adjudicate citations in a more timely manner.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
That sounds great.
Joe.
All in favor?
Or even leave off more, because you wouldn't want to point fingers.
Yeah, in a timely manner.
Right.
Yeah, would that be?
That's good. That's an excellent thought.
Okay, I think that's something that looks pretty good to me.
I think there's value in doing it as well, so.
So how will we coordinate with the judge?
Well, this is a recommendation we're making to the city council.
Okay.
And the city council is going to either accept these recommendations or not.
That would be me, right?
Yeah. You and at least three of your best friends.
Got it.
Yeah, and so anyway, the council will, you know.
Okay.
The request going to the council should include, you know, some acknowledgement and acceptance of the recommendations along with the ordinance change. And so that'll be something, once council does that, then that's kind of the direction for us to try to set something up with the judge.
Are you with me, Dietmar?
Well, I'm just wondering if we have to abstain, because if we sign that, then it's already, we already voted yes in favor of it, right?
I don't think you have to, because you were appointed by the council to serve in this capacity, so.
Well, if that's okay, then I'll sign it, yeah.
If not, we'll just forge it.
Any other, well, yeah, any other thoughts on, those were the, kind of the policy related, those four there. And then, which I'll just reiterate for everybody here, you know, automating the annual renewal process for business license endorsements and payment of room taxes. Implementing an auditing program for payment of room taxes. Filling the code enforcement position that has been authorized so that code enforcement staff will be available to respond to incidents on weekends. And I understand from Jason that that is in the process in terms of the recruitment.
Interviews are occurring today.
Fantastic. And then the piece we just kind of reworked, which has to do with coordinating with the municipal court.
How many applicants did we get?
I think 10 moved on to interviews.
Oh.
There was around 16.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's highly unusual.
Yeah. See, I'm going to refer him out to the rest of us.
Yeah. We're also like, are you sure you don't want to be a police officer?
Are you overpaying now?
Better check the job listing.
And then the other set of bullets in the letter really just summarized the nature of the code changes that you're recommending, which you've reviewed previously, certainly at your July meeting, and prior to that had some discussions as well. So if you're comfortable with this, then it would be a motion to approve the letter as amended. And if that's that, then I think we're effectively done. What we would then do is present this to the council at a future meeting, where the council would then need to determine if they agree with these steps. And then the council would have an opportunity to then, by motion, on the code changes, initiate the amendment process and send it to the Planning Commission. Because for the amendments, since we're touching the land use regulations, we're going to have Planning Commission and council hearings on the code amendments.
Okay. We love sending stuff down to planning.
So that's how that
floors down.
Would you say, Derek, how you would word the motion again?
It would move to approve the letter as amended.
Okay. I will make that motion. I move to approve the letter as amended.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is done. Okay.
I have a comment. I'm okay with the shift. Mm-hmm. And 4.25.030, it's on page 14 and 17.
You're the vote, you're in the ordinance?
Yeah. But it's a solid.
What page are you on?
14 of 17. Solid waste management. Number 10.
Solid waste management.
I don't know much.
Yeah.
Okay, anyhow, it says in there that the city may require an owner or authorized agent utilize solid waste collection valet service in circumstances where there have been verified complaints. How many complaints do we have before we tell the person? I know on our street we have two, and we have two vacation rentals, twice, both of them, you know, trash land all over the street. neither one of them ever got the message from Thompson's that, oh, the service was switched to Friday. So they stick it out there Monday. And, you know, I know in one instance, my neighbor has called in a complaint. And the other instances, I just contacted the person directly. Neither one of which live within the city of Newport. So, I mean, how many times before we say, hey, guys need to get a valet service?
The, I think the key word is verified that we have a violation, because if it's an issue, the one I addressed just recently was, he said he never got the email from Thompson's telling him what his date. Now, can I prove that or not? That's a little tough to do. But I informed him what was going on, and he says, okay. He goes, I'll make sure that the person I have that puts the trash out knows exactly it goes out. It's now picked up on Friday. So we'll wait to see how well it's followed.
So in that case, Thompson's had changed the service date? And
yes. The pickup date said they notified everybody via email on this certain date. When I talked to the registered owner, he said he never got that email. So, I mean, it was down to me saying, you know, is he telling the truth or is he lying to me? Since that time, it seems that he's getting the trash cans out for Friday pickup. So.
Well, that's only been one time.
Well, yeah. And like I said, we'll have to see what happens. If he goes back to doing the same thing, then we know he's not following the rules. So the key thing is verifying that what's going on.
So verify means you have to look at it? Or
I have to be able to prove that he's violating.
Or if I take a picture on my phone and send it to you?
You'd have to have a timestamp, because if I can't verify that you took it that day at this time. So if it has a timestamp, then yes, I can use that.
Yeah, the phone always has a timestamp on it.
Many of the photos I've got, no timestamps on them. So I'm like, do I know, was it taken 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago?
They should use better cell phones.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, timestamps like are on digital cameras, but not cell phones.
Yeah.
They are in cell phones. We have access. It's through metadata. It's
embedded.
It's embedded. You just have to go deep to find it.
The one thing I would say is that if the council accepts these recommendations and sends it to the Planning Commission to initiate the legislative process, then the door has been open to further refinements through that process, Bill, because that's the nature of a public hearings process. Once you open the door that you're entertaining amendments to a particular chapter of the code, then you're going through a public hearings process, you're taking public testimony, and there is
Means
to further tweak it. And I would not at all be shocked if, at the end of the day, what is presented to the council for adoption looks slightly different than what was referred from this group.
There's a question, too. This committee has to be comfortable with what we're submitting to the council.
Right.
The Planning Commission never changes anything.
I'm okay with the wording in there. It was just more a question of implementation of that, which...
Bill brings up a good point, because there is a little subjectivity in that. It does say complaints, which to me means there has to be at least two, plural. But then, is Jim in a good mood that week? And this guy gets three complaints, but the guy next week only gets two. The guy after that gets five. You know, it does make it easier when it is an objective spellbound rule for us.
Sure. You could have it say, upon a second complaint,
verified complaint.
Verified.
You don't want verified. You don't want Bill calling every day.
Of course, don't forget that the industry representative recommended that you require concierge service on all licenses.
My neighbor does more calls.
So, Derek, the Planning Commission could come through, make a recommendation through their process that says, after the second, or to anything.
But we can modify that here if the group felt that was it.
When I talked to Thompson the other day about valet service, he said it's really not designed for everybody. It's only designed for those people who have trouble walking or getting elderly people getting their trash can out. So he doesn't want a lot of valet service, but where the driver goes out and gets a can and tries to find it and stuff. So it's a special service they provide to certain people, but not to everybody.
Yeah, well, I mean.
But do they charge for that?
Yes, it's expensive.
Yeah, they charge. Yeah, I thought they did, so.
Yeah, but if everybody on their route has valet service, then it's trucked down to.
Yeah.
I would imagine the number that would actually fall into this, it would be very, very small.
I'm just saying that Thompson may not accept the valet service.
And then you're talking about, does Thompson's have access to the garbage cans? Because short-term rentals are required to not have the cans visible from the street. Some, I know, keep them in their garage. So if they're under the valet service, is Thompson going to have access to go into that garage when they do the pickup date? If there's somebody renting it at that time, are they going to? I mean, there's a lot of small details.
Well, if there's a garage, there won't be a problem because it won't get picked up.
True.
Like my trash cans only have 100-mile-an-hour wind. I just don't ever put them out.
So where we require concierge service in all of the rentals that we manage, we require that the cans, each city, each muni has its own rules about cans and they have to be, you know, hidden or covered or contained so they don't blow anyhow. But we would, you know, we require that they have some kind of a containment, like a nice little, you know, cage for them that Thompson can access, obviously not in a garage that doesn't work. Yeah. So I don't know if through this ordinance, in these certain unique situations, when Jim finds that he's going to require the concierge service, if Jim will have enough power to say and to go along with that, that means that you're going to have to build something. I mean, in order to stay in compliance with your license,
exactly,
you have to build a little, you know, thing that per Thompson's rules and guidelines. So I don't know if that fits within your power, or if we need to rethink it a little bit so that we do have that protection to require the concierge service.
That would probably have to be something that would be written into the ordinance under what would be acceptable to
like rectify that.
Yeah, to you know,
so
the
too.
To the planning department to say yeah, that meets our qualifications.
I don't think the city should enforce CCNRs or any other rules.
This is dealing with someone that has a problem with handling the garbage at their vacation rental, us requiring them to use concierge service for doing that. But there needs to be some requirements about if that happens, how that has to be in it. I can't remember how we deal with garbage in the current code. Remember, can you find that, Derek?
You mean trash management generally or within the context of short-term rentals?
Trash management in context of short-term rentals.
This is it right here, solid waste management.
Okay.
So, you know, code enforcement has the leeway to require valet service to be utilized if you've got a repetitive problem in terms of the individual managing.
It might be just adding a line just indicating that, you know, something about if concierge service is used, then there needs to be adequate access for the waste hauler.
Yeah.
Right, so you already have the language, provide for regular garbage removal from the trash receptacles shall be stored or screened out of plain view of the street. So if it's within the realm of our power, we could just add that language right there, but that they would have to be outside of the garage, you know, accessible to the garbage franchise.
Yeah.
And location accessible, yeah.
Yeah. As long as that's within the realm of what we can enforce, that you can enforce here.
Why do we have that item in there that it has to be not visible from the street? Why is that in there?
Because that was a key thing, and that was one of the major issues that kept on coming to light was garbage, handling of garbage for vacation rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, I see garbage cans all over town visible from the street. You know,
right.
So I'm just wondering.
Vacation rentals are handled on a different level than other properties for the right to have strangers come in and use homes and leave without understanding what all the you know, what all the local rules are, so we have a different, a higher set of standards for using your home as a commercial business.
Makes sense.
That was required before, so that's the existing language.
I just think the city's opening up for some enforcement issues that probably don't want to deal with, you know?
I don't know if that's really been an issue, has it?
No, I haven't required anybody to have valet service yet. I mean,
But no, generally garbage storage?
No.
Hasn't been a big issue?
No.
People have generally complied?
Yep.
And we haven't had complaints about it since we've had this ordinance in place, so it's
Yeah.
That language has always been in here. The question is if we have a handful of people that end up can't manage their garbage and we do this, they would have to have their can in an accessible location.
Yeah. Do you, when you make your rounds, do you find garbage cans visible from the street?
Usually not, only on trash day. Short-term rentals have been really good about keeping them out of sight. Like I said, a lot of them probably keep them in their garage. And so, yeah, that was my only question is if they're under valet service, Thompson has to have access to it. So, you know, what are we going to require or what does Thompson require to be accessible to them that will still meet our STR requirements?
Maybe get that language from Thompson and embed it somewhere if it's acceptable to the city's authority?
City authorities.
Well, the existing language, the existing language gives the city's code enforcement staff the ability to compel valet service and work with a STR owner to ensure that they can actually utilize valet service. Question is, do you want to further tighten this language up, which would mean, frankly, compelling valet service if it's two complaints or three complaints? And if that's the case, do you want to do that now, or do you want to just let that sort itself out through the process, since I suspect Bill will undoubtedly raise that issue when it goes up at the planning commission?
I'm going to have to come visit you at planning session.
How do you enforce a person to pay for valet service?
Well, what you end up doing is saying that you know, you're going to be putting your short-term rental license at risk if you don't.
That's exactly right.
And so they'll voluntarily do that if they want to keep their short-term rental license. I have no doubt that's the case.
Or manage your garbage appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll manage your garbage appropriately.
In most of the other municipalities on here on the Central Coast, DMAR, it's a condition from the municipality of the license that you have service. Concierge service.
No, that's fine with me.
But I think instead of kicking the can down the road, if there's a desire of this committee to make these changes, this is a group that understands this better than any other group that's going to hear this. So
I don't think you want to kick the can down the road, do you? Sometimes.
Not the
garbage. Because then I understand.
Depends what the hell is going on.
But not normally, so.
Well, you guys know how I feel. I feel like it should have been a flat requirement, so whatever the rest of you are comfortable with, I'm comfortable with.
But you know, one of the things, one of the challenges we have is when we have vague things on enforcement, that always, you know, puts it into a judgmental thing, and we get criticized pretty heavily on our judgmental calls. So,
rather than changing the ordinance right now, could you make that suggestion to the planning commission, and then they can look at it?
Well, this is a draft that's going to them with the changes incorporated. Here. So it's up to this group if you want to make the change from what you have here or not. So I think there's two separate issues. The first issue is dealing with the, you know, do we want to have a number of violations before
verified.
We would require verified violations?
Thank you.
Before we would be able to order concierge service or a vacation rental to keep their license.
And what's a violation? Is that defined?
Yeah, basically there's garbage all over the place because it...
If they leave the trash cans out after pickup date and don't put them away.
Put them out
if
5 days before pickup date.
Exactly, they store their cans outside visible from public right-of-way. Those are examples of the violation. I can't control if they put the cans out on pickup day and we have strong winds that day and the can gets blown over, that is beyond our control. But there are small things that we look for that we can enforce.
So Jim and Jason, what seem like the right set number of those discussions with any particular STR license holder that you would be comfortable with as a law enforcement agency?
I mean, if I get two verified complaints, say different instances, so one week, 1 2 weeks down the line, I'm comfortable with that saying, you know, you get it, you tighten up how you're handling your garbage, right, or you have a valet service. And then once they, if they set up that valet service, then there's going to be stipulations that they're going to have to follow. The cans are going to have to be accessible, but yet still out of sight, because Thompson's will take them to the street, then put them back where they need to go. So it's going to have to be, you know, not able to be seen from a public right of way.
Which is already in the...
Yeah, it's so just...
Right.
So on the third, so it was at... At so, the third,
so
at the third
after you get two, after you get two verified, yeah, then we look at, okay, you now need to look at getting valet service.
So, and I think most things we do, because everything we do is progressive. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, whether you get a warning the first time, usually with short-term rentals, we don't have a warning system. If there's a ordinance violation, there's enforcement, mm-hmm. and in my world, the second one would then be the enhanced provisions or the enhanced enforcement. Again, we also have to have a timeline in there. We don't want to, you know, in 2012 you did this, and then again in 2028, that's your second one. I still think, like everything else, we have 12-month increments. Mm-hmm. And so I think just, you know, upon the second verified complaint in a 12-month period. And then I hate putting shells in there, just because it really does lock us in, but the city may require, which then gives us that authority to do that.
Well, and then here's, on top of that, if the complaint gets called in on the hotline, then the owner has the opportunity to correct that day. If it comes in online, the registered owner never has the opportunity, because they will never be notified that a complaint was filed. So do we take it from the number of complaints that are called in, or the number of complaints that were not handled within that hour?
I think if it's a verifiable complaint either way, it's a verifiable complaint. So,
but if the registered owner has their local contact go out there and you know, abate that complaint, then they aren't technically violating anything. They've came out and they've abated it within the time frame with the STR. So that basically nullifies saying, this is your one, you're guilty at this time and you're guilty at this time, if they've taken care of it in a timely manner. Cool. If they've ignored it, then that goes against them.
That's what you're looking for, right? And the law enforcement is a non-responsive property owner or manager, right? That's not. But if somebody, you know, and I think it would be an inequity to the property owner or the manager if they don't get that notification and the chance to go right away and just, you know, apologize to neighbors and clean everything up and come up with a, make sure that doesn't happen again. And then if it happens again next week, next month, then it's like, okay, guys, you're not managing this well, so here's the requirement.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense. But it would be an inequity if in some of the complaints, the owner gets notified right away. And
the other problem is if we have to call the responsible party every week, because it happens every week, but they're responsive. You know, do we tolerate?
Do we look at a history and say?
Yeah. It's still a violation. Yeah. Again, the first one, we're like, okay, things happened, you did the right thing, but now it happens again timely. That gives us the opportunity to advance the enforcement further.
That we can say that due to X number of complaints being called in,
In this shorter window.
Okay.
You have that now in the code.
Right.
You have.
You're saying you're comfortable with the language as it is now?
Or you want a number of complaints?
I'd like a number. I'd just like to take the guesswork out of it. So upon the second verified complaint within a 12-month period. Because that matches everything else that STR is in those 12-month periods. Everything's in those increments.
True.
How do you deal with a complaint that is not taken care of and then you get another complaint? Is that two complaints? Like on the same day?
One event, it's still one complaint.
It's just you have two complaints.
Two complainants?
Yeah, for the same incident.
It's still one complaint.
Yeah, yeah. So it becomes one complaint, one strike or whatever.
We don't want you and your neighbors all bonding together. 12 of you call on the same thing.
Thank you.
Call us three neighbors and say, that way we can get that here.
Bill?
Bill, we're on to you.
Everybody on my street's dying.
Again, I think
we've got like three widows now.
Before we do that, I think we ought to check with Thompson to see if he's up for doing that. You know, I mean, he might not want to do the valet service for that.
That has not, well, I don't think that's ever been, we're talking in 2 years, we don't have any. So so the reality is we're probably talking one or two. You know, so I don't think it's a huge.
And again, if Thompson's, for whatever reasons, tells the person, sorry, you don't qualify for valet services, they're not going to pay the $13.50 a month for valet service, but now they're going to be looking at paying a $500 fine each time it doesn't happen. So just because we require it, and if it's still not happening, it's still a violation.
Valet could be the owner, right?
Ultimately, the owner or their representative needs to take care of it.
I don't think anybody cares how it gets taken, just as long as it's not left out on the street.
Okay.
After garbage day.
That's the end result.
So you want to do, you want to do 2 and 12 months?
2 and 12 months. Fair, objective, reasonable.
Like you said, it falls in line with everything else we have, so sounds good.
So then the second issue, do we need to add accessible for valet or the valet service thing, or is that understood to be accessible?
I think that's understood.
It is, yeah. Because if you have to do it, then it has to be accessible. They have to make those accommodations.
And so, Jim, from your standpoint, the accessibility would still have to be screened, however
from
they could.
How our short-term rental ordinance is written. Right. Sure. Yeah. So my suggestion would be, you know, go down to community development, see what is acceptable to be constructed, whatever, to meet those requirements.
If they had valet.
Exactly.
Right. If they didn't have a spot where they already are storing.
Exactly.
Them
exactly.
In an accessible spot.
And when I first started out in my business, we used to put garbage cans down in a hole. I remember those. Where you had a lid, you stepped on the lid, and then the guy had to pull the garbage can out.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
That's how we hid them in the old days, yeah.
That's an architecturally designed garbage disposal.
Water collector.
It was waterproof, yeah. I mean, it was just a tub you put in the ground and then.
To be clear, the way this code is drafted, not putting the cans back in a timely manner is not a violation of the short-term rental code. The short-term rental code says that you have to have weekly service and that you have to have them screened, when not in use, but it does not say you have to have them back behind the screening within, you know, X hours of when Thompson's came by.
But it is a violation to keep your cans out under a regular code.
No timely manner.
Right. Yeah, because you can't keep your cans, nobody can keep their cans out all week on the curbside.
There are other right. provisions of the code, of the city's codes that are not short-term rental related, but that's that is meaningful because remember in the context of short-term rental, a second violation is a verified violation in a 12-month period is a suspension of license.
A violation of any code provisions?
Any of these provisions in the STR requirements, mm-hmm. if they violate any of those and now any citation, because remember the change we're making to the violation section, any citation you know, that is on a property where you have a short-term rental license. If you have a second one in 12 months, your license is suspended. So it strikes me as a little bit, it would take more language. I'm not saying we can't do it, we can, but I think it's more than just doing a little wordsmithing right now. If you want to tighten this language up and clarify its relationship to the suspension of a license.
Exactly.
Because I don't believe the intention here is to suspend somebody's license on a second violation. You're saying you want them to have to use valet service if that happens a second time.
Right,
not take their right to the license.
Correct.
Right, but wouldn't this be a strike in the counting?
First one's a strike.
Right.
Second one would be a suspension in a 12-month period. And what Jason's saying is he'd like, you know, the second one then forces valet service.
Well, I thought we had the three strike.
Yeah, the third one is a wholesale.
Yeah, you lose
your license. You lose your license.
Right. So anyway, I'm saying if someone has garbage out, is that garbage all over the place, is that a strike?
Not necessarily. If they leave their garbage cans out, say the pickup date is Friday, and come Monday, Tuesday, those cans are still out on the curb, then that's a strike against them.
Okay.
If somebody calls it in, or if you see it.
If I see it, if I happen to be driving by and I saw it, I didn't get a call, and I know that that's a short-term rental, then that is a strike. Usually, with the ones we've been involved in, a neighbor will call in and say, you know, yeah, you know, it's this day, it's Tuesday, cans are still out. Okay.
If you feel strongly about this, one thing you could do as well without trying to wordsmith it now is I could add some language to your recommendation letter saying some clarification to the trash management provisions may be warranted and can be more thoroughly evaluated if this process is opened up.
That's fair.
Yeah. Is that fair? And that would allow us to look at this, you know, a little bit from a few different angles that we may not be able to do right now.
Does this would go to the Planning Commission, which could then put its brilliant wordsmithing in?
Yes.
Okay.
You know.
From the Planning Commission. Okay.
The Planning Commission is not obligated to rubber stamp anything. Nor is the council, frankly. I mean, this is a work group recommendation. If the council then says, hey, on balance, yeah, we probably ought to make some of these changes. We're going to initiate the legislative process, Planning Commission, start your work. You can look at it and make other adjustments. I think my advice to the commission would be, if you're going to recommend a direction that's substantially different than one of the items listed, you need to have very good and clear explanation as to why. Because then the council is going to be in a position of having to weigh, well, the work group said they want to do this, the Planning Commission says they want to do that, which way do we want to go? But there may be other things that this work group didn't recommend that you might want to touch on, and you have every right as a commission to make that recommendation to the council. Once a legislative process is open, it can take a life of its own, as we all know. So, but I could certainly add some language to the recommendation letter that says, some clarification to the trash management provisions may be warranted and can be more thoroughly evaluated as part of the legislative process, if you would like me to do that.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
I think it's good, Derek, because it allows, I guess, personally I have a problem with all the violations, the first, you get a warning of your license, but you get a fine. So you get a $500 ticket or whatever, you get a ticket.
Well, we only issue
if you violate
issue citations for those that don't have a short-term rental license.
Right, but if there's other code violations.
If there's other
code violations. But
yes.
So somebody does something egregious, they get a warning and a strike. The next time in a 12-month, they get a 30-day suspension.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, they're going to get, you have to have valet service and a 30-day suspension. So they're kind of getting double whammied?
I don't think we want the suspension. I think that's the point, and that's why I think we need to think about this a little bit more carefully.
That's right.
I think the objective is to get proper trash management,
right,
not strip
and
the license away from them And so requiring them go online with valet service would be the corrective step.
It is, so it's where language has to be, you know, this is excluded from the suspension, or some whatever.
We'll have to tweak it.
Tweak around, or, you know, this one gets 3 violations before he gets suspended. I mean, something. Don't want to what if.
It would take a little bit more work than I think we can do right now.
It's just, it's one of the most minor violations that carries one of the most substantial financial, because valet service isn't cheap.
Yeah.
And it's not cheap if you have to build an enclosure, but, you know, it's a cost to do a business.
So could I get, if that's where you want to go, could I get a motion I guess we just do a motion to reconsider the letter, and then if that goes through, then we'll do a motion to reapprove with the amendment. So
I move that we reconsider the letter as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the letter's back in front of you for consideration and potential adoption. So it would be a motion to further amend the letter to include some language suggesting that clarification of trash management would be warranted.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
No. It's been moved in second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. Okay. We've readopted the letter with that additional language. I'll add that after the meeting. And then we'll pull the draft off.
We haven't adopted the letter yet.
No.
We just did.
We just did.
No, we just added something to the letter.
We did that on the...
We unadopted the letter and not we added something to the letter.
Okay. We'll do a motion to adopt.
Well, before we do that, is there anything else that we might want to add?
We didn't get it all through the ordinance. So I might be there just to hold on that final motion until you get through the ordinance. So.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll be going through a reconsideration. And so I think if we can plow through the ordinance and then as a last act, this one is really kind of summarizing
at the end,
the recommendation from the committee.
I guess that's great.
Derek?
Correct, and the ordinance is encapsulating the changes that had been reviewed by the group previously.
Right. So if there's any other changes to the ordinance, probably be good to go through that.
Yeah.
And you know, if there are any, before we adopt the letter as modified.
Does anybody else want to put any other potential changes on the table?
How about the parking issues? Has that been resolved pretty much to your satisfaction?
The which?
Direct to parking.
Parking?
Overcrowded in parking, and like you get a family of everybody brings a car, and you got 4 cars out in the street. How do you address that?
We have an NDE, you know, in terms of enforcement, I'll speak to, I'll let Jim and
I mean, that's
Jason
a big, that's a big issue on Spring Street. I mean,
I think one of the bigger issues with parking has been the lack of enforcement when the actual action's occurring, because it's happening on a weekend. Which is being resolved with the hiring of an additional code enforcement person to actually be here on the weekend. Because they can't, the trick with parking is you have to be able to observe the violation. And if you don't have anybody working on the weekend, by the time he's coming in on a Monday or Tuesday later, it's near impossible to be able to verify that there has been, in fact, an infraction.
Exactly, because they're usually gone. Most of the complaints are that not all off-street parking is utilized and they still have cars on the street, so it's unknown if the person that was parked there just pulled out to go run to the store and then they didn't move a vehicle in to take its spot in time. I don't think we can enforce saying you're only allowed so many vehicles on street as long as you're taking care of the off-street parking. If you have 4 spots off-street parking and you're utilizing those and you have 3 other friends show up to stay at the short-term rental, they can park on the street. So there's nothing in our short-term rental that says you're limited in the number.
Well, that's provided they're under the total number of people that can be in the short-term rental.
I thought it was based on bedrooms, how many.
It is.
But that doesn't say the number of cars. It says the number of off-street parking allowed.
But if the place allows 5 people based on the bedrooms and the thing, and they have
10 people there, that's a violation.
That's a violation, but that's not a parking violation. So.
So five people and five cars.
Yeah, and if you had a short-term rental that allowed 10 and you had 10 cars show up, as long as they use the off-street parking first, then on-street, there is no limitation to say, you know, if you take four spots in the parking in your driveway and you put six cars on the street, as long as they're legally parked, there's nothing in the ordinance that says that they can't do that.
Parking and occupancy, from what I've observed in terms of reinforcement, again, is one of those things where you need to be able to observe it more or less as it's occurring. Now, you know, occupancy is one where I know, I think there was one where there was a wedding on the, in a short-term rental, and there were photos that were time-stamped, and you could use those for enforcement purposes. So.
Exactly.
And hasn't that been one of our major complaints as parking issues?
What kind of parking complaints are you getting, Jim?
The ones I'm getting now are not all of the off-street parking is being used. So somebody driving by or walking by says, oh, you know, there's, say, a short-term rental has two off-street parking spots available, and there's only one car, and then they see some cars parked in the street, then that's the normal complaint I get in. When we first started with the ordinances, we got quite a few complaints of there's too many cars on the street. And then when we would go find out what's going on, if we had an officer, say it's occurred on a Saturday night, officer goes out there, well, no, they used all the off-street parking, and then they had, you know, three or four vehicles parked on the street. Everything was legally parked. There's no violation. So it's changed from when we first started with the complaint, nature of the complaint, to now it's people are looking at off-street parking.
Yeah, because we had places that would have large parties and
exactly
and weddings.
Exactly.
And
we don't have, as you've seen through the record over these quarterly meetings, though, a large volume of complaints relative to the number of licensed short-term rentals. I do want to emphasize that. So
yes.
We're entertaining code changes. And I'll say this back as we go through the legislative process as well through Planning Commission and Council. And one of the things I'll be advising is we need to be sensitive to, are we making a code change to address a real problem, or something that's just a perception and part of a discussion on the fly at that point in time? Because
Thank
we really
you.
Want to limit the changes to things that are really addressing real issues. So,
is there, because I don't know, does the homeowner or the property manager let the people knowing that they have to use the off-street parking?
Yes, that's part
of the
licensing. That is a requirement.
Okay.
They actually have to post in the premises where those spaces are and where they're parked.
Perfect.
So that's lined up pretty good. There should be no excuse for somebody not knowing where they're supposed to park.
It's because all of these require in-person contact for an investigation. We can't
right.
assume, so Jim has to go knock on the door. People have zero obligation to talk to us, so he has to use his sweet disposition and charm to find out whose cars are those on the street, you know. And so,
a door ram or something.
That's next. That's
so,
a start.
Oh,
too.
I feel a bad review coming on.
So, what do you do, Jim, with that situation, like on Spring Street, where there's a private kind of road that goes in to several homes there, and then people just park on that private road, and they park, you know which one I'm talking about, right? We've had a lot of parking complaints in that area, and I'm just wondering how we deal with over parking. I mean, it could be a real problem, and I don't think we've really addressed it very well.
It's only an issue if a vehicle is blocking a lane of travel or parked in a location where no parking is allowed. I used to get complaints for parking on Spring Street for cars parked in turnouts that, no, the vehicle is legally parked, and the complainant would say, yeah, but I can't access the trail down there. And I would go down there, and you could access the trail. It turns out that they didn't recognize the vehicle, and they thought it shouldn't be in that neighborhood. It's a totally different issue. We have to look at, is the vehicle legally parked? Is it out of a lane of travel so that emergency vehicles can get in there? private streets, if it is listed as a private street, would be definitely handled differently. But if you're talking public right-of-way, then our parking ordinances that we have in place apply to short-term rentals as, you know, as well as residents that live here.
We have a lot of skinny streets at Newport that are not marked, no parking, there's no painting, there's no signs or anything like that. And so that's implied that you can park there. Yes, part of your car may be in the road, but because of the design of that area, it's okay. Yes, you have to go out and around it type things, and two cars may not be able to go by at the same time, but that's not a violation. That's just design of the city.
Stuff I heard you read though too on you've received complaints about vehicles being parked and the complaint relates to a short-term rental, and when you get out there you figure out the car is actually not related to the short-term rental, it's the individuals parked there, say utilizing a beach access trail or something of that nature.
We've had that, yes.
Did I just hear that?
Okay. Yes.
We get complaints of people saying this guy's parked in my spot because they've parked for 20 years in front of their house on a public street. Yeah, it's mine.
So Jason, to your point, it sounds like that type of complaint tends to be the one that requires more immediate, direct communication between code enforcement, which
this weekend should
will be a, the weekend shift will provide that opportunity.
They'll be able to respond directly, make contact, and determine is it a violation or not, and do more of an immediate correction.
So Derek, I have to get ready for a 3 o'clock meeting, so I'm okay with sending this forward if you want to talk to my vote.
Okay. Did you want to make a motion? Motion to approve the letter as amended.
I'll move to approve the letter as amended. Yes.
Okay. A second.
And there's a second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. The amended letter has been
approved.
Approved.
Do we need to sign?
What I'll do is I need to add the language in,
okay,
and then pull the draft off, and then what I'll do is I'll reach out to you all,
okay,
and we'll have it available at the planning office,
okay,
and then you can swing by at your convenience if that works for everybody.
Yeah. Sure. The deadline for doing that would, are you trying to get this on the next agenda?
For the 17th?
Yeah.
We could, yeah. It would, so you then that would be.
Are you going to send it out by email again?
I'll send a timeline via email to everybody. I'll send the final draft of the letter and then the timeline to swing by.
Okay.
That way, if anybody sees something on there that you have any concerns with, you can let me know too. But it's pretty straightforward, so I should be able to pull it off. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing only silence. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for your time and patience and work on this over a
considerable period of time. So the STR is expanded now?
You have officially completed your task.
The longest process.
I just want to thank you and give kudos to the city of Newport for the citizen, the way that you set up these committees and citizen involvement. Hats off. I mean, it's far and above like the nicest, most integrative way to operate out of all the municipalities that I'm involved in. So it's enjoyable and it's inclusive. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be a part of it as well.
Oh, you bet.
I hope it's felt fair to everyone. That's an objective. Yeah.
We've earned the friendliest for a reason.
Yeah, I would say
that is
feel long and painful.
That's easy to say that
I'm forging ahead. No, because that's held to it. Works, and we're not tied up in